going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Audio courtesy of FanDuel TV. 2-0 series, Tone. 2-0 series.
Yeah, what a game. What a surprising game that looked like it was going to be a total rout. Cavaliers shot insanely well from three-point range, 22 threes in a playoff game, and yet two-point game with about 4.5 minutes to go.
So a lot of people, you start to go, how am I going to explain this away? How is this going to happen? Because it was a 19-point game, and did you think about going to bed?
No, I wanted to see the Magic game, the Magic Celtics game. I was scouting.
How long were you up?
Well, it was on at the same time. Remember, that game started a half hour earlier.
That's right. So you turned over to the Celtics game?
Yeah, I was flipping back and forth.
Okay. Well, you can watch two things at once with Extend Technologies.
I thought that the way that game was going, normally you hit that many threes, everybody's playing well, everybody's shooting well. I remember when Okoro even hit the three in a corner, I'm like, well, This is about all she wrote. No real reason to sink your teeth into much more. I mean, the Cavs have the benefits. They have all the advantages personnel-wise. They've got the better team. They're deeper. They're better. They have a superstar in Donovan Mitchell, who at that point hadn't really come alive yet. He was the one guy that was kind of inefficient. And then I'm checking in because the Celtics were in trouble. They had Porzingis go down. Remember, they didn't have Tatum. Porzingis was bleeding all over the place. And I'm like, it's going to be a huge night for the Cavs where they could rest all their starters in the fourth and maybe, just maybe, the Magic could pull off the upset in Boston, tie up that series, and really make the Boston Celtics work extra, extra hard. So that was what was on my mind.
But that's a hell of a thought that you had right there. I was looking at social media. Obviously, people were freaking out because it got down to four, got down to a couple of points. It became tense, and I didn't truly believe they could have wasted the game. I didn't truly believe that. But I just refused to let myself. I go, there's no way they collapse when they're up by 19. There's no way that this is going to happen. And it ended up not happening. They ended up taking care of business at the very end. It did get a little bit tight. Donovan Mitchell spoke about that, and we'll talk about him here in a second. Kenny Atkinson, he spoke in the postgame, obviously, as head coaches are wont to do. Kenny had looked at it and said, well, we got some things we need to clean up.
Knew it was going to be a dogfight. I think we missed a ton of shots in that second half. A lot of open shots, I think. But we got to do a better job, right? We can't be a make or miss team. Like, oh, man, we're missing, and now they're grabbing offensive rebounds, and Tyler got loose on us. So we got things to clean up, but really proud of the guys for holding their composure.
What do you think of what Kenny just said?
To me, you can overstate it. I know Kenny's given a very disciplined answer, whatever. They had Donovan Mitchell. I mean, Donovan Mitchell was the difference. Donovan Mitchell came alive. He just decided, as often happens in playoff basketball, superstars got to just make shots. Sometimes you got to force them, too. It's not like a lot of those were in the flow of the offense. They were just come down, shoot a three. We saw LeBron James do that many times. And if they're not going to come out and extend all the way out, regardless of whether you're having a good night or a bad night, because it kind of took him a little bit longer while everybody else was shooting a high percentage. He wasn't. And then in the fourth quarter, he just said, I am taking over this basketball game. Doesn't matter if they come out and pick me up, if they put a hand up. That doesn't matter if I'm 25 feet, 28 feet.
It was a nice feeling.
I'm just going to take over the basketball game. It's nice to have a guy like that.
I had one person in the comeback in the fourth at Miami was making, send a message to me about, where's our guy? I'm like, relax for a second. It's nice to have him on the floor. Now, obviously against Boston, I don't know if you're going to have that same type of advantage because you got great players over there, but they're bleeding like crazy over there. So that's something that we're going to get into a little bit later. However, Kenny Atkinson went a little bit further in his press conference and was asked a few more questions and talked about taking on Miami and taking that first punch in the first quarter.
I told the guys after the first quarter, I said, that's it. We took the punch. They hit us. They're coming at us hard. They were super physical, super high energy, and we just support in that first quarter. And I thought we kind of held our ground. I said we just got to do it longer. I felt like 48 minutes we were gonna get them, but it was important to withstand that first blow for them in the first quarter.
The question is for me, well, two things. One, is the series over already? Hold off on that just a moment. Two, did the Cavs need a game like that? For the short term of the series and the long term, seems that Donovan Mitchell thinks they did.
I love the fact that, you know, the game happened like this. I'd much rather this than, you know, win by 20 like we did the other night, back-to-back, especially going into an environment like we are. We had to really find a way as a group. You know, we were up. We did a lot of things positive, did some negative things, and then we responded. You know what I mean? So I think that's just going to help on a night-to-night basis.
What were the first couple of games? The first couple of games against Orlando last year were blowouts, right?
Yeah.
We blew their doors off at like 40 the one night.
Did not seem competitive.
So I think he goes back to what that was. I think there's two questions that you and I have to answer right now. One, was this something that was needed? Donovan seems to think it is. Now, is that lip service or is that something that you believe is true? Tell me.
I don't know if it was needed. Obviously, I would have loved if all our guys could have just sat out the fourth quarter rather than having to play. Now, the good news is I don't think any of them are real, real banged up. I do know Darius was limping throughout most of the fourth quarter, and he stayed in the game. So if they had to play a game today, you know, would that be trouble? I know, you know, Max Strus looked like a heating pad on at one point in the fourth quarter before he came back into the game. So, you know, yeah, it would have been nice to just have those guys on the bench and just have a laugher. They didn't. So is it nice that they had a little bit of adversity? Sure, I can understand what he's saying there.
Using the A word again.
Yeah, I was very surprised. I mean, normally you shoot as well as the Cavs do, and that's it. I mean, 22 threes on 49% from the field. In the regular season, that's normally a 30 to 40-point blowout. So the fact that it was even a two-point game, you know, shows you that the Cavs still do have a few weaknesses that teams can go after. Like, that was the surprising part to me, is how the Heat were able, Davion Mitchell and Tyler Hero abused our perimeter defense, which surprised me. I didn't see that as something that I thought. Like, normally, you know where teams are kind of going to pick you apart. Yeah, every team's going to attack Darius, and the Heat did it really from the start of the game. But the fact that they had that much success to get back into the ball game, you know, that's going to be something for Kenny to definitely get them. Did they fall asleep a little bit? Did the fact that they had the big lead, is that what maybe took over their psyche? Because you see that in a regular season. So many regular season games.
Well, they just end like that.
Well, yeah, you're up big because, you know, it's because of the three-point shot, teams can always get back in it. But again, you outscored Miami from three by 18 points. I think that was a surprise. I think if the Cavs are being honest, they are very surprised that they would shoot. That's is what the Cavs might not have another game in the playoffs where they hit 22 threes.
Yeah, but at the same time,
it's a one possession game in the fourth.
Miami, I know they went cold there in the middle, but I didn't think that they were. I don't think anybody thought that Miami was playing particularly bad. I mean, from the field, I think they were still over 50% for the night. Yeah, they were still over 50% for the night. So I thought Miami was playing good. I just thought for a long stretch that the Cavs were playing far better.
They were.
And then when the Cavs went cold, and boy, did they go cold at the worst time possible, end of the third, into the fourth, that's when Miami was still a warm basketball team. We were able to go on a 13-2 run, changed the way that people saw this basketball game, and then we're able to get right back in it. Now, there were a couple of situations that I thought could have been cleaned up. I don't know why. Do they trust Evan Mobley down the stretch? Do they trust him down the stretch? Like, there's more questions than answers on that. Do they trust him down the stretch?
Well, trust him is in how, like, they're not going to run.
Because he kind of got taken out of the offense.
They're not going to run a ton of plays. He's not at that stage of his career. Like, when you watch teams like the Denver Nuggets, I mean, 100% of the plays are going to go through one guy.
Jokic, okay, yes.
We're not remotely there. Like, even the KG comparisons, like, they're not remotely there yet with Evan. They're not just going to throw the ball into him, wait to see if a double team comes and get an offense. That's not the way this team is built right now. This team is still going to be, at the end, it's going to be big moments. Donovan Mitchell with the ball. Does somebody come up and set a screen? Do they want a little screen? Do they want a big little screen? Like, how do they want to operate? And then as you get closer to the end of the shot clock, clear out. I'm just going to work.
It was still the typical playoff basketball that is, it's going to turn into clear out. One guy's going to take over, and it's going to become something of a one-on-one basketball game. Davion Mitchell is very impressive. I think a lot of people are getting to know this guy who are Cavs fans. Very impressive in this game. A formidable foe, if you will. The question also is, are you willing to declare the series over? Yeah. I don't think are.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
They don't have the guys. I mean, they need to rely on so much that I don't think they're going to be able to rely on from game to game.
Like, I don't think the series is over.
Oh yeah. I mean, they were 12-point favorites in that game. They were 12-point favorites in the opening game. They'll still be favorites on the road in Miami. I still would be kind of surprised at this point if it's not a sweep. I think they took a nice punch there in the fourth. I give credit to Miami for being able to hang in there. But yeah, this series is over. I think you could start to mentally get ready for the Indiana Pacers, most likely.
Are you serious? You think the series is over?
Yeah.
216-474-0092. They gave up a 19-point lead. They did not cover the spread last night. Not that that matters. They still won.
Oh, it mattered to some people.
They gave up a 19. Well, for you and I, it doesn't. They gave up a 19-point lead. I don't think that they nearly coughed it up. I did not think that they were going to choke and lose. But they still gave up that lead. It's still Miami. It's still a smart basketball team. If they had Jimmy Butler, it would be different. But ifs and buts, candy and nuts, and all the other stuff.
Maybe I'd be a little more scared that the series could be prolonged.
Yeah.
But I still said yesterday before the game, I'm like, even if they had Jimmy Butler, I'd still pick us in probably five or six.
Holy God, yeah, you almost made me cuss at you.
The Cavs are way better than the Heat. They were way better
good.
All year.
They're really, really, really good. But damn, like, I don't know. I don't think the series is just over.
With that said, I thought the series was well over last year when the Cavs were up 2-0. I was stunned.
So you didn't learn a lesson from last year?
Well, I think the Cavs are way better than they were last year. And this Heat team, I was very surprised they got back into it because in the second quarter, the Heat were playing regular season G League defense.
I agree with.
They were not closing out. They were just giving like Max Strus. They weren't even contesting shots. They weren't getting back in transition. They weren't getting loose balls. It was almost very sad to see the Heat culture, you know, go poof.
Listen
like that. And
you.
Then they showed some fight. I will give them credit because Davion Mitchell and Tyler Hero were outplaying Darius and Donovan up until Donovan went ballistic there at the end and scored 17 in the fourth.
All right, 216-474-0092. You agree with Tone? Is the series over? I got to learn from last year. This is a tough team that you're playing. I think that they are better than what. Well, I don't know if they're better than what you faced last year with Orlando. I got to tell you that because that's a team that still had Jalen Suggs and that's a team that had Mo Wagner. But I think I still have to go back to last year and go, man, you beat that team so badly, and I know that this team is better. I understand that, but damn. Series over. I still got to get a win on Saturday. If they get it to 3-0, obviously, on the road, it's like, okay, then that's it. But, damn, I can't bring myself to say, and I'm a positive guy, I can't bring myself to say the series is over. I'm very surprised
that,
you're saying
is
this.
Is that a lack of faith in the Cavs because you just haven't seen this team?
It's just me being respectful.
Have a lot of playoff success?
It's just me being respectful to the history. I think that's what it is. I don't want to start shooting my mouth off considering where last year went, where I'm sitting on a cruise ship last year in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. Yes, congratulations on all my success. But I'm sitting on a cruise ship checking my phone because I'm in international waters and I couldn't get the game, which, by the way, a bunch of other people couldn't get the game, apparently. We'll get into that later on. But I'm furiously checking, and then in the first half I go, oh my God, they're going to lose the series. They're going to lose the series to the Orlando Magic. I cannot freaking believe. And I'm going, well, at least Lima has to deal with all this because I can't even send a tweet, so forget it. To now, they're up 2-0, same thing. They beat up on Miami in game one, even though it was a little tighter than what the final score indicates. They go out to a huge lead in game two. That lead closes to within a possession. And they end up winning. Great win. A good performance. It's playoff basketball. And because it's playoff basketball, no, I cannot say the series is over yet. So I ask you guys, do you guys agree with Tone? 216-474-0092. Is this series over? I'm hearing tough talking Tone. Cavaliers winners last night over the Miami Heat, 121-112. Got very tight there for a moment. Cavs put them away. Is the series over? 216-474-0092. The Cavs take a 2-0 series lead. Lima says yes. I still say no because of the history that happened last year. Yes, I understand that the Cavaliers still ended up winning that series. So I guess after it was 2-0, you could have said that the series was over and that you were ended up being right because, well, you ended up winning the series. The Cavaliers did. But I think considering last year, while this team is better than what it was last year, absolutely, I totally agree. I still have to go by the recent history. And last year is still recent. And the Miami Heat, I think they are a tougher out than what we wanted to think, than what a lot of us wanted to think. I think they played their asses off yesterday. And I got to tell you, I agree with Tone. I think once they got to halftime, like in the second quarter, it just was like, okay, we can't. There's 10 threes here in the second quarter, for the love of God. Like, this is getting ridiculous. And then I think at halftime, you know, how to eat a whale, one bite at a time. And they found the moment where the Cavs went cold. Tyler Hero got hot. Other players got hot, got worked up. I thought that they found themselves an opportunity to jump back in the basketball game. And I still just, it still has to be a game that's played on the road at 1 o'clock on Saturday. So until that
televised?
Happens... Well, that's a conversation for other people because I got on, so I didn't check out social media until the first media timeout, whatever, and I did not realize that a lot of people had the game blacked out yesterday. I'm going to get to Darius Garland's comments here in just a moment, but I did not realize the game. Did you see anybody? Did any of your friends text you that the game was blacked out for a lot of people? Oh, except for Owen. Owen is in Florida right now with his family, and I sent something to the show thread where I said, like, there's a bunch of people there blacked out there not able to see it. And when Owen wrote, I'm blacked out, I thought he was going to say, I'm blacked out drunk right now because, you know, it's Owen. He likes to have a drink or two, just like the rest of the show. And he goes, no, I'm blacked out and I have the app. And he was not able to see game two last night.
Yeah, I don't understand that one because if he's out of market, if you have NBA TV, it's a national network. Like, people in Florida who have NBA TV, they were able to see the Cavs.
So how is it because his phone is local? It's a local number?
Yeah, so I think he would have had to be in a place that had cable.
This is starting to get...
And then had NBA like the old days, which, of course, is what me and you have. So we had zero problem yesterday being able to see it. So this huge... I mean, I was getting tweets.
You pay through the nose for it, but still.
I mean, I'm getting tweets that Dan Gilbert should be ashamed of himself. And I'm like, I doesn't have anything... If it were up to Dan...
Well, I think he'd open it up for everybody. These are television agreements.
So I didn't understand why people didn't have the game. I guess if you didn't have cable and were just going with the app, you didn't have the game. I don't understand that, how you wouldn't have the game. I thought the whole point of the app was that you would make sure to have all the Cavs games.
Joe Thomas said this would be our Super Bowl scenario. What is it? I'll tell everybody coming up at 7:02. Well, Joe will tell everybody coming up at 7:02 this morning. He was on Zach Gelb's show. Yeah, I didn't see... We're getting to a point here where you're going to have to start to open it up for everybody.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more. And get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And see what you can do there, because there's so many, like, YouTube TVs all over the place with it. Cable. Cable's the only one that's a standard, but you're having people getting rid of cable. Which, by the way, if you see all the streaming services are starting to bottleneck just like cable. And that, by the way, is becoming a mess. I don't know if I've told you about ESPN Plus lately. Now, I know that you're on ESPN, so I can't really, I don't want you to say anything, but it is a total mess right now.
Yeah, it's
where
different.
I can't find any of the programming that I wanted before. And it's on Disney Plus, except for it's missing a boatload of the library that it had. And I go, okay, but by the time college football season gets here, you better get this figured out, because I got to see all these games, and I got to be able to see these games later on the way it was on ESPN Plus. However, I heard what Darius Garland said after the game, and I think some of the people who are attacking me right now on social media and saying, Ken, you're being pessimistic. Ken, I'm not being pessimistic. I'm being realistic. I want you to hear Darius Garland after this basketball game and tell me if you change your tune, because Darius Garland was asked about defending Tyler Hero and taking care of their business and, well, I'll just let you guys listen to Darius Garland about the future of this future of this series. Go ahead.
What's the key to playing clean basketball like that against a team like that?
Pick on Tyler Hero and take care of the ball. Don't play in tight spaces and pick on their weak defenders. Go at them.
33 points last night, Tyler Hero. Pick on him. Pick on their weak defenders. Did you draw umbrage? You didn't draw umbrage with it.
No,
I don't know if the Cavs
all.
Fans did, but there was a lot of people I saw wincing. Go. You want to say that? You want to say all that? Because I think a lot of people go, well, it's not Darius who has to answer for that. It's Donovan who has to answer for that. Donovan is the leader of the basketball team. Darius is the Robin of the Batman. Like, I don't know why Darius is talking tough when it's like, let Donovan talk tough if anybody's going to talk tough.
Yeah, I don't know if that's Darius letting off some steam because he knows that's every team's game plan. I mean, if you watched the Heat yesterday from possession one, they were attacking mostly Darius. And in the fourth quarter...
So this is his frustration?
Yeah, I don't know. In the fourth quarter, to get back into the game, they were attacking Darius and Max. Those were the two guys. It's not that... You know, yeah, some teams will attack Donovan, but Donovan has the strength to kind of hold up. But the Heat were getting whatever they wanted, you know, down the stretch. So I wonder if that is exactly what Darius is doing, kind of projecting, knowing that, yeah, that's what teams do to me, and that's what we're doing to them. Because Tyler Hero, really, you could pick your spot against the Heat. They do not have much in the way of any perimeter defenders that are fleet of foot. I mean, Mitchell is their closest agitator, but they had to rely on him for offense, Davion Mitchell. So how much more is he going to be able to give you on defense? So I think that's all that is. Probably Darius is like, that's what every team does to me. Well, you know what? We're going to go after guys too.
But naming names... that's okay?
Well, yeah,
that's perfectly fine?
Yeah, I don't know. Look,
because I hear him say that, I go, that's one of the main reasons. History is my reason. Hearing him say that, I go, no.
Well,
no.
Yeah, like if they were
I'm
playing,
not saying that series
if they were
over
playing Boston, is Darius going to say anything like that? Probably not, right? Maybe they'll say Al Horford.
That's a pretty arrogant thing to say.
But the thing is, like, Al Horford's won a lot of battles against Darius.
Yes, he has. But what I'm saying is this is a very arrogant thing to say when you had a team take you 7 last year. And you were still the better basketball team. I thought you were still the better basketball team by far. And, yeah, I know, you were a 4 seed taking on a 5. I get all that. That's all fair, guys. But, damn it, like, when I hear him say that, it's going, man, the history's not that far. And, yet, I'll tell you what, if Donovan said it, I'd have no problem. Because Donovan did what Donovan does. Donovan saw this game get close, and what did he do last night? All right, fine, I'll do it. Because you saw, he went to the line last night, and I go, there ain't no fear in that guy's eyes. He's going to take this thing back over, and that's it. And you saw that in the fourth quarter. I trust Donovan Mitchell without a shadow of a doubt, especially in this series and certainly in the next series. If Donovan came and said it, we're not having a conversation right now. But because Darius said it, and because over the last, what's Darius been in now, 5 years in the NBA? How many times have I had to sit here and defend him amongst the callers?
Yeah,
over the last 5 years. I've been a big Darius defender, and now you're saying things, and I'm going, wait a minute, damn it. I defend you at every turn we get. We went through the jaw being wired last year. You lose the weight, getting raked across the eyes there, and now we're talking like this. I'm just uncomfortable with it.
Yeah, Darius has been a weak spot in the playoffs up until, you know, he shot the ball incredibly well and looked so poised and confident in game one, which I thought was awesome to see. It is one thing to do it against the Heat. Like, this is not your father's Heat team, right? It's not your uncle's Heat team. It's a very different Heat team, and, you know, it's only going to get harder. But I do like what I've seen from Darius. I know he wasn't the most efficient yesterday, but I do like a little bit of what I've seen. You could tell he's getting more and more just he's understanding who he is in the playoffs. And, yeah, again, he wasn't the most efficient yesterday, but I think he looks so much better than he ever has in the playoffs.
Floyd in Cleveland, you're next up on the Fan. Hello, Floyd.
Hey, top of the morning to you, Ken.
Same to you.
Bad morning to the slimy wizard of Bay Village, Lima.
Wow.
But I, like I was telling the screener, I'm the hater of the year. And I love what DG's doing. What he's trying to do is put doubt in Tyler Hero's head. Like, yeah, you know, we're picking on you. And now he's like, give me the ball. You know,
you think he's trying to make Tyler Hero play hero ball, and that would isolate everybody else, or freeze everybody else out of the offense?
Absolutely. It's the same thing I do for 14U baseball. I see the opposing pitcher on there. It's a 3-2 count. I'm like, he got to throw a strike. If he does, he's going to walk you, kid. Don't worry about
it. Are you saying this out loud in 14U baseball?
Absolutely. 6 beers in, and I'm out there.
Oh, my God.
Obviously, I'm kidding.
Oh, my God. All right, thank you very much for the call. He ain't kidding. I'm not going to get Floyd in trouble. He ain't coaching my kid. I don't care. If he wants to be Buttermaker, he can go ahead and do it. That's a hell of a theory by Floyd, but I just don't think. Do I think that Tyler Hero is going to outduel Donovan Mitchell? No. I just don't want this to be any harder than what it needs to be. You're talking sweep? I'd love to believe you. We'll be together on Saturday. Maybe I'll believe it's a sweep by 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But to say those things, I just don't like the history there, and I'd rather if it were to be said, and if they do believe that in the locker room, I'd rather it come from Donovan Mitchell. Are we making a mistake passing on Abdul Carter? Because I think we're gonna make this really complicated because it's the draft, and it's a television show. Let's be honest. But I also think that we're gonna try to simplify this, and I say, hey, let's just take Travis Hunter and move on. Or if you want to trade down, I'll trade down. We hear about the Jaguars wanting to move in. Ian Rappaport, he was on NFL Network last night. The rumors are crazy, by the way. I should read the rumors that came out just yesterday. Ian Rappaport, he was on NFL Network. He said that the Jaguars could be trying to move up to number 2.
My understanding is, at least in the realm of conversation, is the Jacksonville Jaguars going from 5 to 2. The Cleveland Browns have number 2. I think a lot of people believe they would take Travis Hunter at number 2, play him in receiver, sprinkle him in at corner a little bit. But what if the Jaguars go from 5 to 2 and trade up for him? It would cost a lot. and it would be a big, bright, shiny object in Jacksonville. Let the Cleveland Browns collect some picks, continue to build their team. At least those conversations are expected to go on as we get closer to tomorrow night.
All right, so Tony Khan might call us up and offer us the Beverly Brothers. Or maybe the Legion of Doom. Well, wait a minute. That's WWE. I don't know who he's going to offer us to try to get to the number two pick. Would you be willing? I think you'd be willing to deal.
I've said that. I told you like a few weeks ago that I'm scared what it means for me, that I'm willing to be this. I guess it would be considered conservative, although, you know, getting the draft capital that they've given up over the last few years, to do it in this draft, I think would be a true testament to the front office, right? Because They didn't end up trading Myles Garrett when we thought that was going to be the way that they recoup all that they've lost over the years to try to rebuild a football team, which is, you know, what I've said all along, like that's going to be the task of this front office because of the talent drain that they've had over the years, which has got them in a scenario where you saw it come to a head last year. 4 wins, and obviously Vegas doesn't think you're very good either.
3 wins.
3 wins, yeah. Vegas doesn't even know if you'll win 4 games this year. So how do you do that? You recoup draft picks, but this was going to be a tough draft to do it because this was universally considered a down draft. And up until 2 weeks ago where, it seems like they're trying to make it seem like all these teams want to trade up in a down draft. Really? I think it's probably quite the opposite where it's probably teams wanting to trade down. And so I found it very interesting when I look at, I'm on one of the betting trackers. Travis Hunter, -1200 to go second overall. And I found that to be very, very interesting.
Those good odds for Travis Hunter.
It's incredible odds.
Why do you find it interesting?
Because all I've heard is that nobody is better at playing the game of deception than the Browns. Yet, Vegas seems to know who you're taking.
Oh, I have several people.
So how is that Vegas would know who you're taking when the whole point of this entire endeavor leading up to the draft is to throw people off the scent?
Isn't it more common sense? Is he not the best overall prospect that's not a quarterback? Yes. So if he's the best overall quarterback that's not a quarterback, a month ago I was told
it was an even playing field. It was Abdul Carter and it was Travis Hunter. What happened?
I think that people looked at the Browns offense, looked at the stats and say they got to do something offensively. Plus, he can help out on defense. And if he's the best overall prospect, like Abdul Carter is the best overall pass rusher. But if we're looking at the best overall prospect here, and I'm a team that needs talent, I don't think he's a luxury the way that other people have said it. I think he's a necessity. You need players
got a bunch.
Like that.
Yeah, I mean, they have a bunch of necessities. So that's probably just because normally bad teams just taking a wide receiver is not the quickest path to getting good. Normally, it's fortifying the lines, right?
Yeah.
After quarterback, it's normally fortifying defensive line, offensive line. Now, maybe you feel like, well, behind Myles Garrett, you can fortify the defensive line with just about anybody. So I understand that approach. Offensive line, yeah, man, they got a lot of question marks, you know, that they have to try to figure out over the next 2 years because you're going to be without Wyatt-Teller, you're going to be without Conklin, you're going to be without Petonio. You know, we don't know what we are at right now at left tackle. DeJuan Jones seems to be a hope right now. When we've seen him play, he's played really well. He's also one of the heaviest guys in the league, and he's had 2 season-ending injuries. Like, there are concerns there. Normally, fortifying the lines is what a bad team does to try to get better. So, taking a flashy wide receiver.
Yeah, I'd love to build inside out. But
is this a draft that, you know, you've been on it all along, Kenny?
More than likely, no.
I defer to you on the offensive line stuff.
Well, because you look at a team like Jacksonville. Jacksonville makes sense. One, because they right now are a team that had – they're a weird situation down there. Let me say this. Because I make the Tony Khan jokes. I don't know how much power the guy has. I know that there's plenty of people who are in the NFL and go, this guy's nuts. I don't know what the hell you're doing. And yes, he does run wrestling. So it's it's a odd situation for it. I mean, the guy was wearing a neck brace last year to kayfabe getting his neck broken.
So it's pretty funny.
Yes. I mean, it is a show. So what are you going to do? If anybody's going to move up, I think it could be them. And it's makes sense because it's the Jaguars, and there's a little bit of crazy down there. And it makes sense because they have Trevor Lawrence, and they are desperately trying to make sure that this doesn't turn into what happened while he was there. And so if you go out and you get Travis Hunter, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think Mason Graham makes a lot of sense for them. But again, it's the Jaguars. So if they want to go ahead and make a quote-unquote godfather offer, the way that people were using that term yesterday, go right on ahead and make that offer, because I can still make my football team better. I can take Armand Membo and make myself a good offensive line again. I can go ahead and take Will Campbell later on, depending on how far back do you actually want to go. If you always wanted to go to five, fine. You can take, as you said, Mason Graham, because I think Mason Graham is going to be a solid defensive tackle. Pro Bowls don't mean anything, but he could be second team all pro and could be a very fine football player for you for a decade. There's not many things that would I would go, this is nonsensical, other than certain quarterbacks and things like that. So there are possibilities. I'm not just saying you have to take Travis Hunter no matter what. So many people have sent us the memes of draft day. I don't think you have to just take Travis Hunter no matter what. I'm willing to, as you say, move back. I'm willing to move back a little bit because it's not quarterback no matter what now. I'm willing to move back if you want to. And if you want to move back with the Jags, fine. We'll go ahead and move back with the Jags because there's things that make sense. But if we're going to stay where we're at, yeah, take Travis Hunter. Let's not make this hard. Let's not make this hard. You should have a decent enough defense. Isaiah McGuire is supposed to be progressing. He'll never be as good as what Abdul Carter is supposed to be. Yeah. Let's be serious here. But you know what? I have a general manager who doesn't have a great track record as it is to being able to draft guys. I know his track record is better taking defensive players a little bit later on than it is taking wide receivers a little bit later on. And I got a guy who can play both offense and defense. Then we got to figure out how much more we're going to have him play.
And it's funny to me, though, that the people that they like to throw one phrase after.
If you're going to say that word again.
Well, no. The phrase that I hear all the time, and it's not just this year, and it's not just Browns fans, but I hear it in basketball, I hear it in football, anytime there's a draft, it is, come on, keep it simple. Like, don't overthink it. And then it's take whatever guy they want. Which, I was hearing that for Abdul Carter a month ago. Now, I'm hearing the same phrase for Travis Hunter.
I don't think it was ever simple. You didn't hear it from me. I don't think it was ever simple for Travis Hunter, or for Abdul Carter. I don't think it was ever simple there. I mean, he's a pass rusher. He's good. But there are medicals that we are worried about. There's also, what are you going to do? Your defense still, it wasn't just terrible. Your defense was put in a bad position by one of the worst offenses,
sure,
by the numbers we've ever seen in the history of professional football,
wasn't that,
or at least in the history of the Cleveland
Browns.
Wasn't
that really just, that was quarterback play more than anything,
okay,
wasn't
so
it?
If I have some decent, competent quarterback play, and I should have something here now, then it should be that much better with a guy like Travis Hunter. Hope we still got to get a running back.
Oh, you don't think? I thought you were going to say with just having Joe Flacco all year.
Yeah, Flacco being able to throw to Travis Hunter and Jerry Jeudy. Because I don't want to find myself, I don't trust Cedric Tillman, okay? I trust Jerry Jeudy. I trust David Njoku. All they'll do, and we did this before with Brandon Whedon. They'll just, hey, you guys want to sit there and let Josh Gordon get 1,300 yards or 1,600 yards in a season? Fine, you're still going to win four games. We had Jordan Cameron on that team, right? Jordan Cameron was a Pro Bowler on that team. You won four games. So you have to have another threat to take away somebody else. Travis Hunter is that threat. It's going to make Jerry Jeudy's life easier. It's going to make David Njoku's life easier. It's certainly going to make Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, quarterback X's life easier. It's not taking it. I don't think it's going to take you to the playoffs, but it's going to help you win more games. So if I'm taking a guy at number two, yeah, keep it simple. Just go step right up to the plate and take Travis Hunter. He's a nice, safe pick that still excites people. That still will sell jerseys. That still will get some people to want to go to football games. That still will get people to want to play with him on Madden. So it does all those things that you want to do. Plus, he's a fisherman, so he gets everybody. You can love him in Parma. You can love him in downtown Cleveland. He makes perfect sense. He makes perfect sense. So if the Jaguars want to offer me a first rounder for next year and some more, we'll talk. But if they're not going to come up with some crazy offer, yeah, I'm going to step up. I'm going to take Travis Hunter, and I'm going to be happy what I do with Travis Hunter. If you step back and you took like Tet McMillan or something like that, who can only play one way, then maybe we'll have ourselves a very spirited discussion in the morning. 216-474-0092. Is it as easy as taking Travis Hunter? Or are you one of these guys who say, hey, no, I don't think he's going to be a very good pro? Because remember, you got to have a lot of faith in Travis. And I'll say this, and this is even the thing that I have to think about. You have to have a lot of faith in Travis Hunter to overcome what may happen in a not-so-great Browns season. He has to be better than any possible dysfunction that we can see because he does play both sides. 216-474-0092. Is it as easy as taking Travis Hunter?